No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am Dylan.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Connor. I'm here. You can call me the Cyberpunk Monk if that's easier.
It's the boy.
It's not easier.
But that's more
it's not. That's it's significantly longer.
Okay, sorry.
Today, you are our guest because we're going to talk about... Or you want to make an actual play podcast?
I know a thing or two about that. I'd be happy to talk about that.
Yeah, as far as I've heard, you've made every podcast that ever existed.
Yep, every single one.
You make this one, in fact. Wow. I really don't know how you do all of the voices at the same time. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Dude.
Let me tell you, it is a lot of work.
Some ventriloquism.
Yeah, and here, wild.
Let me do it while drinking this glass of water.
Oh! It's totally not dribbling, just down your chin, onto the floor. It's fine.
Now that is some good audio.
So this is a topic that me and Molly know dick all about.
I mean, we do some, a little, tiny, I don't know. We're like talking on one right now. So.
Well, no, we're talking like actual play, like recording gameplay.
Oh.
Of
anyone can just talk into a mic and start a podcast. Actual play. That's
Joe Rogan.
Honestly, they should make podcast equipment more expensive. We gotta gatekeep this shit. Why am I here?
But before we get started, you do actually have like a million podcasts. Do you wanna?
Yeah, I could whore myself out a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
The one that most people would already probably know me from is Clinton's Core Classics. That is a Rise of the Rune Lords first edition actual play podcast. Pathfinder first edition, that is. And normally I say that, but we actually just wrapped up like 2 days ago. We released our final episode. We are done. That's like a 7-year project.
Wow.
And if you're saying to yourself, oh, well, you know, that's great. What else are you planning? Well, good news. I am also just starting a new actual play podcast. Now I'm going to be playing Bug City Blues. This is a 6th World Edition Shadowrun actual play podcast. And you could already catch it anywhere where fine podcasts are found, which is to say iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon Music.
The deep web.
Just go
and yeah,
go look on the dark web. It's fine. It's safe.
Back alley USB traders.
I post the episodes to 4chan every morning.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. He's basically that guy in a great big trench coat with a bunch of CDs. Check the shit out.
He is, in fact, Silent Bob.
But he makes a podcast. I feel like that's a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, I'm not slinging drugs. I'm slinging podcasts. Hey, what do you want?
Also, he's got a six world.
Okay, fine. Silent Robert.
Perfect. But I've made a couple of actual play podcasts. I feel like I'm qualified enough to at least talk about the introductions to one.
Well, then take us away, friend, because we know squat all, dick diddly, less in fact, shit, if you will.
All right, I've got a very thin skeleton here of topics that we're going to discuss. It's not really like in any priority, but these are just a couple of things that I figured somebody might ask if they wanted to start a new actual play podcast. First one is if you're going to do an actual play podcast, unless you are like me and can do every voice everywhere at the same time, you're probably going to need a cast.
Break your arms.
Yep. Break your arms, break your legs, get somebody to sign them, do ventriloquism through the cast.
Insert Reddit joke here.
No, you want to find some people who, I think there's a couple of things that you could consider. I think one of the first ones is people who can make it to the game. It ain't no good having a group of people if they are consistently saying, I can't make it, something came up.
Oof.
And, oh man.
This is not...
Adults.
This is not... sorry, go on.
What? No, adulting's hard. Finding time to do things with other adults that also are doing things, very hard.
That's precisely what I wanted to say. This is not going to be a Pathfinder or a D&D problem. This is a adult problem. This is a adults have things to do sometimes problem. Mm-hmm. But if you could find a group of people who seem like they at least have a consistent-ish schedule, that's probably something you want to consider.
Although it does help. But you don't all have to gather in the same place, like traditional.
Yes, because we are living in the future and everything is great, we are in a position where we can usually use something like a Roll20 or I know some people who do play by post, although they're probably not recording those games. But
that would be wild.
What's play by post?
That would be nuts.
It would probably be more cinematic.
You just
actually,
like post things and then people just like play. Like, what is that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I've never done one myself. It's not particularly of interest to me.
Weren't we supposed to do that with Tenra?
Listen, Molly, drop it, okay?
Sorry.
It's good for people who have crazy schedules and still want to be able to get some sort of gaming in. I've definitely been in that situation before.
Yeah. If you want to know more about play by posting, Molly, we've done an episode on that one. Whoa!
Oh crap. I have to listen to things? Man, I don't want homework.
I actually got a little interview with Div, the guy who made Rollgate. And he talked about like why he made it and like the pros and cons of it. So yeah.
What's Rollgate?
It's a website to do that thing we're talking about.
Oh. I thought we were just going to do it in Discord, right? Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, like,
you don't have to overthink it.
That's what I thought. I was like, we have to have a specific place. We don't.
No, but he made
the answer is we don't.
It.
Yeah, but you have a specific place if you so choose and have access to that place. I do words. Yes.
Good job.
But when you're finding your group of people together, if you are going to do something like an actual play podcast, not only is, hey, we all need to meet consistently, you know, whatever that ends up being for your group, but also depending on the game that you're playing, this could take a long time. Like I mentioned with Rise of the Rune Lords. That was 5 years worth of releases consistently, 7 years worth of playing and editing. That's not going to be for just anyone. And we knew that ahead of time that we were going into a longer than usual game. If you know how long you're planning on making your product, it might be worth addressing that with the people that you're playing with, just to make sure they're on the level before you get started. And it's not always going to be the easiest thing to tell how long you're sessions of Fantasy Make-Believe are going to end up lasting, but you could at least try to ballpark it. For example, we did Rise of the Rune Lords, which is a module. We knew we had 6 books. We knew each book takes, I don't know, a month-ish to meet, to do if you meet an hour or two each week. And we mapped it out from there, and we found out a rough schedule that worked for everyone. You know, we had to change it up a couple of times, but that's life.
I like modules.
Something to consider.
They're fun. I mean, that really plays into not just scheduling, but also the schedule itself. Kind of like doing a project at a job, for example. You put out like a Kanban, which is the newest thing that I've learned in my corporate job.
We're Kanbaning at work.
We Kanban all over the place. For people that don't know what that is.
I work in a gas station.
It's you can Kanban at a gas station. It's basically like... It's basically like a look into the future and telling, like, I want to spend this amount of time on this chunk of the project and this amount of time on this and this amount of time. In the corporate world, they would call those deliverables. I've had to listen to way too many things, even though I don't face clients literally at all.
Kanban's for a team, not just for clients.
Yeah. But in manufacturing, we don't really use Kanbans, but honestly, we really should.
When you have your podcasting team together, make sure you have your Kanban board up to date.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone has their schedules on there so we can deliver a consistent
product. This just sounds like a dessert.
it does sound like a dessert, yeah.
It does. Basically, try and make it semi-professional feeling where you all are kind of on the same page. Because it is a little like a big old project, right? Have it all put out together.
It definitely is. The way that I view it is at least the person running it should have the respect for the game, mm-hmm. and the player should also have respect for, if not the game, then at least the person running it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're showing up and you're kind of not putting in the effort, that's going to show. Which brings me to the final of the points I had about a cast, which is finding the right group might be right for you. Mm-hmm. In my first show, we went through probably like 2 months worth of reaching out to people. A, to, like I mentioned earlier, find the people who could play with us at the right schedule. But we didn't just accept anyone who came in. We kind of wanted to see who would work well with us. Who were the people who, when it's their turn, could do what's asked of them, not be like, oh, right, it's my turn. Let me look it over my spell lists. That guy annoys me at the tabletop constantly.
Oh crap!
That guy is not respecting everyone else's time.
But I have the ads. I was thinking more of like the people, like because Dylan has listened to me rant about this many times. The people that love arguing with the DM and other players about all kinds of stuff. I loathe those people. I'd rather have someone that is like halfway between thoughts trying to find their spell list than a person that's going to waste 20, 40 minutes of my time talking about basically nothing.
And these are things that you should consider mm-hmm. when finding your cast.
It's true.
Is some people are going to want to be pedantic by rules. I certainly know I've spent longer than I should have debating text in a game about rolling dice before. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, but I guess that's a double-pointed sword. Finding a good cast also means finding people who will mutually respect the same rules.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone's, you know, you could house rule whatever. There's no problem with that. But everyone should at least be on the same level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should agree that it's the right idea for that game or for that table or whatever the case is.
Yeah. And if an idea does come or something, God, talking is so difficult. How do you people do this?
You probably should have warmed up more by eating crackers like I did.
And I would say, like, make sure that it's, like, on the out there right at the beginning that if there is a disagreement, you handle that while you're not recording.
Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, take time to do the clap and, like, make it editable.
What, sync audio? Yeah, that's going to be kind of a prerequisite to everything.
No. I mean, like, putting in, like a distinct pause so that whoever is editing it can, like, cut it out really easily.
As an editor, I appreciate that big. Mm-hmm. One of my, not related to this topic, one of my biggest pet peeves in editing is when somebody says something and they'll be like, oh, like I was about to say, and that's the thing, and, like, I can't fix that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I could do with that mm-hmm. without it sounding like I just cut it in from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I know you're excited to save, but long story short, slow down, relax. It's not a rush.
Mm-hmm. It's also speaking not a debate. We just talked about that. It's not a rush, but don't be so unrushed that you aren't paying attention. It's also not a debate, but don't be so undebatable that you just sort of don't play.
Don't be afraid to let an argument go for the sake of, I don't want to say making the show go on, but just
getting the story going respect someplace.
Yeah, exactly. There's a saying that I've been saying a lot in my life, a little more than I'd like to, which is there's not a minimum of effort that's being put in appropriately. Mm-hmm. And if the people you have at your game aren't putting in that minimum of effort, maybe they're not right for an actual play podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not going to be the right fit.
If they're not willing to make a cloak with you, don't adventure with them.
And it's hard to talk about, I guess, but I've certainly had people in casts who ended up not working out well. Some of them for small things, some of them for ridiculous things that you don't think you should have to deal with in your adult life. Oh.
Like the dude that always wants to make customized armor, weapons, outfits, whatever. Like, that's cool, but can we, like, I'd like to get back to the story. I don't want to be sitting here basically reading a Mary Sue fanfic about someone's outfit.
Respecting everybody's time is something that I want to keep on nailing in with this point.
Oh, yeah.
If you have the kind of show that permits your artificer to show off the special slingshot catapult 9,000 that he made, mm-hmm. go for it. There's no problem with sharing the spotlight, but you gotta share.
It's not a single player game.
Yeah, you want a single player game, go play a Dark Souls.
Go play the Dark Souls.
I was gonna say go play a Baldur's Gate, but I guess that's multiplayer too, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it's so good multiplayer too.
I gotta get it still.
Oh, it's so good.
I also need to get it.
Someday. So did you guys have anything else you wanted to mention about finding a cast, or did you have any questions about finding a cast?
Let me see. I like diversity in casts. It makes it easier to enjoy the game, hearing multiple streams of, I don't know, opinion conscious.
I get you. It's one of the biggest podcasts with any... Let me try that again. One of the biggest problems with any podcast is... There are too many out there that are just three white dudes repeating each other over and over.
Right? Like, what did I just subscribe to? I just subscribed to that, like, College Humor thing. And they do D20, or what was it called? Roll 20. That's what it's called. And they always have a really diverse cast, and they're always so funny. I mean, not just because they're paid to be funny.
My newest program, Bug City Blues, I shouldn't say specifically, it conveniently ended up working out that I had diversity and that some of my people I have been playing tabletop games with for, you know, 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been playing games for longer than I've been alive. Mm-hmm. Some of them have never played a tabletop game before, basically.
Well, that's fine.
With that level of diversity, I know that's probably not exactly what you meant, but I think that especially shows when we're sitting down, like, discussing our plans or just talking in character. The people who have been doing this forever kind of know how to go through the motions, but the new people are asking questions and presenting things and viewpoints that I could just tell they're not even considering.
Mm-hmm. I think diversity means a lot of things all at once, and it's best to have a whole mix of all the things together. Like
you need a diversity of diversity.
You want some good soup, yes. Man. I want to see the green bits, please.
I want my shows to be consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, like a soup, like stew. I'm hungry.
Okay, moving on.
With that, the next bullet point I had worth talking about that I thought would be worth considering when you're starting an actual play podcast was finding the right topic. In this case, topic's probably more specifically going to be finding the right game. Mm-hmm. If you are sitting down with your table and you know for a fact you want to run a game in Pathfinder 2nd Edition and you've got all your planning and you've got your first 6 sessions worth of work ready to go and you show up and nobody knows how to play Pathfinder 2nd Edition, that's a problem. Now, it's a very unlikely problem. Chances are you've spoken to your cast and know ahead of time what's going on, but the idea with that is finding the right game, not only for you, but your players, is something you should consider. The easy way to think about this is, I'm going to run a game that I know. And, yeah, you probably should run something that you're familiar with. Not that you can't pick up a book for the first time and start a podcast with it, but realize that inexperience is probably going to shine through. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that, but consider it.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up Shadowrun and not know what I'm doing.
Shadowrun is not an easy one to learn. It's not. I will say that probably is one of my favorite tabletop games.
It's really, really cool. But I guess you could have a whole podcast of someone cracks open a book for the first time and tries to figure out how to play this. And I mean, it would be a train wreck, but it would be informative.
Yeah, it, some people would value seeing how those machines move with the process of finding things out.
With the right group of dorks, you can do anything.
6th edition Shadowrun, that core rulebook is a mess.
Oh,
that
boy, podcast sure would is.
Be, I'm looking up dodge. Oh, dodge is under cover. I'm looking up cover. Oh, cover's under defense. I'm looking up defense. It needed a couple of extra passes in the proofreading before it got out.
Oh, also,
like how strength doesn't do anything as a stat. Pretty good.
Yeah, we house ruled that one. Mm. Or how armor doesn't actually do anything.
Pretty good.
Isn't there like a whole class of just muscle in Shadowrun? How does strength not do anything?
It's for skills, I guess, the associated skills. I have it house ruled that you add half of your strength rounded down to any melee attacks.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And that's me with a very basic of like understanding of game flow, and just it doesn't make sense to me that my player, who is a scrawny little elf, if she goes up to sucker punch somebody, it's doing the same damage as our massive troll or our street samurai. It does not make sense. Mm-hmm. But hey, like I said, with finding a topic, Shadowrun is the right game for us for what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I want to run a game that's in the future, doing like heists and cool people doing cool stuff. Shadowrun's the right engine for that.
It's pretty neat. Yeah,
cool. Or like, you know, I don't know, a game where you're like in a magical world where the sun doesn't move and you're in a Twilight Town with a cat boy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and all the pages, there's actually like 2 pages every single page in the rule book, and like
and no bookmarks.
No bookmarks.
I've been playing a whole lot of Warhammer since the pandemic started. I will say having a rule book that doesn't have like the little cloth on it, unacceptable now.
Yeah. Also, like, I know the grind and needing a PDF instead of getting the book, but my God, as someone that has to flip through things sometimes a lot, having the physical copy may actually be the deal breaker between you and figuring out how to play the game.
If that's what you need to learn, then there's nothing wrong with that. I too prefer being able to touch my books over a PDF.
I mean, it's also I can't look at two pages at the same time on a PDF. I have to do some sort of copy paste sort of deal. Too much work when I could just have a book and turn to both pages at the same time. That's just me, though.
The book's not out yet, Molly. Shh, the book isn't out yet.
I'm talking about books in general, man. I've done this with
textbooks, too. But the book we're talking about specifically isn't out yet.
Yeah, but, I've done this with textbooks, too. I have cheaped out and gotten a PDF textbook off of some website where I may or may not have gotten viruses. And, PDF sucks sometimes.
And if you got to get a book to learn something, then, do what you got to do. Hopefully you don't infect your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Running a game for specifically our topic, something that can be taught or something that you know well enough to teach will help greatly in your efforts. Mm-hmm. Because if your players don't understand something, there's a good chance your audience isn't going to understand something. And using your players as tools to ask questions, specifically questions about mechanics, is the ace in the hole for making your world more understandable. That's something that I'm going to be doing with you guys when I finish a topic. Do you have any questions? Is there something you don't understand? Constantly having that sort of back and forth with your players. With the podcast, you could always edit it out if it doesn't end up working out, whatever. You got that freedom. But finding the excuses to work those in will make your product better on the whole, believe me.
Everyone does like the discourse. Hard not to.
I got a gift on Steam in the middle of this podcast, and it startled the hell out of me.
Dude, turn your system sounds down.
It's just out of nowhere.
Okay. I don't have any particular questions about finding a topic. How about you, Dylan?
I don't know, I have some mixed feelings on this, and so Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons are games that are, they're games, everyone knows, and so, to that degree, it's hey, we could run this, and everyone's gonna have an idea of what's going on, but I've also had the thought recently of, you don't see any of these for games like Tenra, or games like Basin, or Dark Heresy. There's a lot of systems, what would you think would get you the more recognition? Doing something that everyone knows and already loves, or actually trying to branch out and do something new?
I do think if recognition is what you're looking for, you probably want to land on something that is recognizable. And the thing that people are already going to know is D&D 5th edition, I guess. And if you can't tell by the tone of my voice, yuck, we don't need more D&D 5th edition podcasts.
We don't.
I think it's also dependent on the makeup of your cast. They know it. Because we did just talk about this, but how can you guarantee that something would be successful? It would be that everyone kind of knows how things work.
I think doing it because you want it to be successful might not be the right attitude.
Yeah, but he did just say recognition.
Yeah, I guess if you why are you making this if not to have people listen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's okay to want people to want to listen to your product, but that shouldn't be the reason you don't do something you want to do. For example, I love playing games that are out there. There's a game called Mothership that's been on, I think it's Kickstarter or whatever.
Tenra.
I am so excited to play this game, but the play group that I have right now is a little bit overwhelmed with me trying to get them to teach them new games every quarter. Or
just the name. Neat.
It's like an alien game, but not licensed anything owned by Fox. Or even the alien game I'd love to play. Another one I'm excited for is Powered by the Apocalypse, Apocalypse World. Great games, but there's a good chance people listening to this have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Different systems.
Powered by the Apocalypse as a system is starting to get a little bit of traction.
Because I know
there's a million systems that use it now. I picked one up called Thirsty Sword Lesbians that we covered not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that one. I think, honestly, looking at the playing field of game shows out there, I think the McElroy is doing what did they do? Monster of the Week. I think that was a big boon for it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they got that clout.
But again, just nailing it in there. If the story that you want to tell is told better with creatures that show up out of the woods that you need to take care of, and every week there's a new creature, maybe Pathfinder or D&D is not the system for you. Maybe Apocalypse World's the right one.
That'd be kind of cool.
Don't be afraid to look at other options.
Witcher slash, what's that game that people like playing? Monster Hunter style game? Where you have to like prepare and learn and follow clues. That'd be neat.
That is exactly Monster of the Week. If that's the kind of thing that you're trying to do, mm-hmm. it'd be perfect.
Maybe it would help if, like, I don't know, if you had like a podcast where you did like some new short game, like modules on a different thing.
I'm gonna
every
date
week.
The Mothman.
Or not every week, but you know what I mean. Like as a project in a chunk.
There's plenty of
I'm sure there's so many podcasts that could do the same thing.
I think the only one I could really think of is Dr. Game Show, and that's not quite what you're saying. That's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it was just like, here's the different Pathfinder modules. We have a new crew each, you know, 4 weeks or something like that. And we're talking about show ideas here. For some people,
channels that do this,
that I'd watch it. For some people, that's going to be the right show.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's all about
to move us along again.
I mean, I guess it's all about who your target audience is supposed to be.
What are you interested in making? What are people interested in listening?
Yeah.
It would make sense if both of those line up.
Like, half my jokes are just for me. If everyone else likes them, that's cool. but
if you can't laugh at yourself,
you can at least laugh with yourself.
And if you're telling jokes and they're not landing, that could bring us to the next topic I want to bring up, which is editing a podcast. As somebody who talks in all voices at all times, I will know firsthand, sometimes the jokes just don't land. Good thing for you, if you have the time and patience to learn a audio editing suite such as Audacity, the world never needs to know of your shame. If you want to make a actual play podcast, you are probably going to end up learning how to edit audio as a consequence.
Unless, of course, you do too many jump cut edits. Then people will go, I think he's cutting out something.
You see that a lot with audio specifically, maybe 10 years ago or so more. But when you could tell people were taking separate cuts and not just re-recording it, but taking the best of each, mm-hmm. it bothers me.
Mm-hmm. I see it on videos online. Lots and lots.
And if you learn,
sorry.
If you learn how to edit audio, you will eventually catch this same phenomena. We were talking about this earlier. I got a pet peeve when people are talking too fast, trying to fix something that they said wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you do it too wrong, I can't really fix that audio. If you have a cast, getting them to learn good audio etiquette is a great step in making sure that you have a product that's going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, unfortunately, having the patience to edit audio.
Oh.
It is not a fast process.
Oh, and sometimes the money for proper sound isolation.
Yeah, we could talk about that now. If you want to do it, and if you want to do it right, you're probably going to end up having to invest a little bit of money on your cast. At the very least, you want to think about the types of mics you are using. Now, you don't need to go out and get an external audio card. You don't need XLR cables going into your Shure microphone. You don't need it. I'm telling you. You do not need it. That is overkill.
But,
that is over-engineering your problem.
But I want it. I like listening to good sound, and I'd like to also make good sound so I could finally use this XLR thing. Never mind. Keep going. Sorry.
You know what else makes good sound is a Blue Yeti microphone.
Hey, my $40 Feefine microphone on here is working just fine. But
and it is. It really is.
But I'd really like to get a fancy dancy one for me.
The right tool for the right project is ultimately what it's going to come down to.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a small time operation and everyone's fine using headset mics, the right tool for the right job. Don't overthink it.
If the sound comes in fine on Instagram reels over an iPod ear pod, what are those called? I'm like crossing between the ones that have the wire and the ones that don't, you know, the people that
ear
like
pods.
They like hold the microphone up to their mouth while they're talking on the little string. Oh, God.
I believe what you're looking for. They're called ear beans.
Ear beans.
Yeah.
The ear nubbins.
You put in your ear beans. You just finagle them beans right into your holes.
Now, if you're at a point.
Not 2 a.m. yet.
If you're at a point where you are doing a sponsored operation, you have ads you need to worry about. Yeah, okay, then maybe look into, you know, Shure XLR, external audio device, whatever. If you're just looking to release a podcast that you and your friends are doing for fun, I have literally listened to shows where people were driving in their cars and just playing, like, with their phone on speaker. If you make a good show, if you make an entertaining product, people will listen to it.
Yeah, that sounds like something people would do. That sounds actually dangerous, like legitimately.
Yeah. that was back in the days of like 2014 or so. It was like the wild, wild west of podcasting.
Some good software can go a long way too. Like, I've been using SoundForge for a while because there's been a whole bunch of Humble Bundle things. It's like, hey, get $900 worth of sound editing software for $25. So you can keep an eye out for those kind of things because they've been doing that on and off for a little while. But getting something that has like professional level noise canceling and like background noise removal has done wonders for my own podcast.
If you can't afford it, that's great. I will say, okay, yes, I bought the Blue microphone. Yes, I bought a shock mount. But software wise, I ain't spent a dime, homie.
I've only Audacity, spent like that free. Original $25. Yeah, like Audacity's fine. Like if you want the free option, you're really just going for it to go for it. Yeah, just do it.
Just do it. That is all you need to get started. Get a feel for it. See if you could tolerate it.
Yeah.
Because it ain't for everyone.
But yeah, if you can spring $25 and you find one of those bundles, it's been really cool using this new software and like all the cool stuff it's been able to allow me to do.
I think there is Adobe, I want to say Premiere, but I think Premiere is the video suite, actually.
Premiere,
whatever the Adobe audio suite is.
Audio suite? I have the weirdest feeling that I know what this is because I know someone that uses it, but
whatever their audio suite is. If you have access to it, more power to you, but you don't need to go overkill on those tools for your setup. Audacity, free. Sure, it's a little bit of spyware now, but it has everything. It is such a phenomenally powerful tool. Audacity and an hour of YouTube tutorials will be everything you need to make a competent product. Mm-hmm. And at least for audio.
Like TLDR, you don't have to have a perfect setup to get a really good product out of something. Having a great setup will get you a better product eventually, but like it's not, you don't need it.
No. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think of my first season of my first project as like the first season of Star Trek, which is to say, it's okay. It definitely had some room to grow, and we definitely did grow. And that's okay if your show's in the same state. If doing an actual play podcast is something that you want to do, the hardest part is going to just get started. It's getting your cast together, sitting down, hitting record, and having a fun time. Now, audio editing is fine, and you could just hit record, play your game, hopefully take out the ummas and inhales, and hit publish. But I will say this is a hobby that you will get out of it what you put into it, and there is plenty more that you could do with audio editing than just recording voices. You could add in some sweet I was actually just record. I was just editing through all of my like sound libraries because, you know, I finished my new project getting ready for that. And I have a folder just called memes and sound drops where I have things like sad air horns, the bum, bum, ba, bum, wah, which is just, that's how I have it named. I don't know what else you'd call that.
With all these sound effects, you too can be a like 90s radio DJ, early thousands.
That really is what it feels like sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you are somebody who wants to get into audio editing, you will probably end up with a file full of sounds that you like. I got files for the sounds of background music. I got files for the sounds of cars moving, electrical sparks, sounds that I think sound like magic. And all because I think these are things that might be useful to put in an episode someday.
Honestly,
it sounds like magic.
I should also
it isn't magic, but it sounds like it.
A sad recorder is also great. I don't know. Just find, like, it's like finding gifts. You finally find a gift that you love, and it's the one that you use to respond to, like, everyone in the Discord because it's hilarious.
I will admit to having sound clips that I like more than other sound clips. I play favoritism a little bit with my sound choices.
Mm-hmm. This is another one where I've gotten like a Humble Bundle thing for like $10 and I've gotten like 400 royalty-free songs I can just throw into whatever. Humble Bundle's got to be a podcaster's best friend lately.
I'm glad that you said the words royalty-free. If you're getting into podcasts and you want to publish it, that's something you should consider. Now, I have a feeling that we have a listener of this show who doesn't quite care that that their podcast pretty vigorously violates that. And frankly, if it works out for you, hooray. Like, if you're not posting your stuff on YouTube and it's just on Spotify, people might not ever find out. But if you are planning on doing a show and you're posting it on YouTube or whatever, chances are you're going to get caught by an algorithm if you're taking someone else's music. This is especially true for licensed music. If you want your show's theme song to be a popular rap song or whatever, it's probably going to get tagged. You can circumvent this, usually, by looking up royalty-free music. And it's my understanding that depending on the platform and their system of automation, having the rights to use it might not always be enough. So if you can, I guess if you can make your own music, that's the best way to solve this problem. But if you can speak to the people who make these songs and get the permission to use it, that is going to be a great step in the right direction. And in my experience, reaching out to anybody who has a Spotify playlist is like super easy, and they almost always respond. They're usually ecstatic that people like the stuff that they make. I've had a couple people be like, yeah, just pay me. And I'll be like, how much? And they'll be like, a ridiculous amount, and I just don't answer them. But like with the sound effects, you will eventually find things that you like more than other things if you're out there listening. And if they just so happen to be cool with giving you the rights to use it, that could be the missing ingredient to making a good podcast sound like a great podcast.
Make sure you get all of your money's worth out of it, just like Around the World with Kunk or something. I can't quite remember the name of the show, but they use Pump Up the Jam in every episode because they got the royalties to it.
If I had the royalties to Pump Up the Jam, I would have that as
on loop the whole time.
Know, right?
Constantly.
You gotta just double check those TMs on those boo-vazelas. You never know.
Well, we are coming up on our time for the week, so final thoughts. Pump up that last bit.
Sorry to have wasted so much of your time.
Listen, my time can't be wasted because it isn't valuable.
You know what I'm saying, actually.
I had a couple of things that I thought would be worth mentioning, such as hosting or having a consistent release schedule. I think the thing I want to talk most about is etiquette on the mic. If somebody invites you onto a podcast or if you're trying to do a project, just respect everyone's time. You don't want to be the guy who no one else wants to be at the table with. Just be considerate. I know we're all just trying to play a game and have fun, but be respectful of everyone.
Yeah, don't share ass.
Don't
share the spotlight.
Like, don't be like me and just interrupt people. It's the ads, as I've learned.
Molly.
Hey, there's so many words inside my head, okay?
Yeah, I'm learning real quick. We're probably scrapping like the first three episodes before we start publishing.
Mean. I was enjoying that.
Hey, we're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to make it good first.
Hey, I'm always good.
Do you guys have any questions about starting an actual play podcast that I could answer?
How do I not suck at talking for long periods of time?
Practice.
Oh, no.
That's literally it. I don't like people. I don't really do the socialization thing that much. But, you know, if you do it for 7 years straight, you kind of get good at just bullshitting.
Yeah.
When I was
there
teaching,
are things you just kind of have to get used to.
When I Let was me tell teaching, you, water, too. Always have water.
Having to listen to my own voice for 30 minutes at a stretch every week has gotten me accustomed to listening to my own voice. But like, please be aware that if you've never recorded yourself and then you have to edit it, you're going to cringe.
You're going to hate the sound of your voice. You will find the vocal tics of your friends and companions. And if you ever want to devastate them, you could tell them what they do when they're not thinking about it.
It's especially helpful if you get to watch them while they're doing it and they don't notice, which makes you feel really creepy, but like, they're sitting right in front of you, man.
I'm being passive aggressive about that, and I don't know why. Everybody does it. It's completely normal. And we all love and respect each other despite it.
I still can't listen to any of the podcasts with my voice / words in them. Dude, I can't. What? I don't. It's weird.
That's normal. Everybody hates the sound of their own voice.
Yep.
Dude, I've heard myself. Terrible. Like what I used to teach, I've heard myself over that. I hate it. It just makes me sit there going, I have no idea why I said that. And at work, we have radios, and sometimes I have to listen to myself while I'm talking into the radio because someone else has a radio turned up really loud. And I got to tell you, you don't know what brain like malfunction feels like until you're attempting to think and talk while listening to yourself talk.
There's a name of that. It's an effect. Like, you could project somebody's talking back to them at a delay.
Yeah.
And they tend to talking like they're on tranquilizers.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's awful.
It's noise jamming is what that's called.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Noise jamming. I just sit there going,
it's terrible.
Why am my brain is processing this word that I just said while I'm trying to think of the word directly after this word, and it's just not working.
I know some practice. People who can tune it out really well and just keep like just power through, but I cannot.
What kind of mutation is that? I want that.
Yeah, I think they're an X-Man.
So if you're an X-Man, please do consider starting that.
Oh, are you an X-Man? Because you can do all the voices at once.
They're onto me. I gotta go.
Before you go, thank you for being on and giving us your advice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I had known that there was a time restraint, I would have bottled up some things a little more concisely.
What?
But luckily, if you're listening to this, you probably already know how to find us on Discord. And I could be found on Discord. So if you have any questions that we didn't answer, you could just ask them there, homie.
Yeah, join our Discord. We
live there.
God.
Guessing you have the description, a link to it or something. I don't know.
Yes.
How do people get to your Discord?
See, this is when we do all of our socials. We got the facebook.com/d20dudes if you're one of the six people who still uses Facebook. We got twitter.com/d20dudes or @d20dudes on Twitter. I refuse to call it by its new name. It's not happening.
Get off Twitter. It's a dead website.
It is, but it's
the website
there.
Formerly called Twitter.
It's the only place I can still communicate with Hulky Crow, so I'm keeping it. And if you do want to join our Discord and Tim, come say hi and hang out with us, there will be a link to that down in the description, because we don't have a custom link. Help. And then if you want to monetarily support us, there's Patreon, patreon.com/d20dudes.
And then all the links are there, too. They're all over the place, honestly.
As little as $3 a month gives you a shout out. I'm going to give to Jenny, Word, Ken, and Zam right now. You are my patrons. Mm. Thank you.
Enjoy the herpes.
What?
It's everywhere. It's the most common. Never mind. Ignore me.
Molly, what the hell? And then you said Clinton's Core Classics, and then what was the new one?
Yeah, you could find my podcasts, which are Clinton's Core Classics, A Rise of the Rune Lords First Edition Actual Play Podcast. You could find that just about anywhere that fine podcasts are found. And then there's the new one, which just started on Monday, is Bug City Blues. This is a Shadowrun 6th World Edition Actual Play Podcast. And you can
find
that
in
Chicago.
Oh, God.
More than you'd
all
like.
Talking about like human-sized bugs or bug-sized bugs?
Skyscraper-sized bugs sometimes.
Oh. What's that movie from the 50s? I think it's just called Them! !
With the giant ants?
Yes. Or was it crickets? It's probably both, honestly.
No, Them was ants.
Them was ants? Okay.
If giant bugs terrorizing a city is something you're interested in, make sure you tune into Bug City Blues, which you can find specifically on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon Music right now, because every single platform out there, you got to have an account to make. Oh, did you guys hear that Stitcher or something like that's going away? Like one of the big ones?
Huh?
I did not.
What the hell, man? Where are people going to go to get their fine podcasts?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Wherever Adam Bash is going to release Sayer now.
So yeah, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, let me know if
you want to find my podcast somewhere, and I will put it there for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want it emailed directly to me every week, please.
Can you just beam it into my face?
Not so much that one. I could certainly automate something. That's
we
could do that.
A sniper rifle into my face. Of your podcast.
Not ethically.
Just beam the information via 50 cal.
Like, I got an Arduino. We can make things automated.
Connor, do you have a D20 handy, perchance?
Yes.
Go ahead and roll that for me. We're going to see what next week's topic is going to be.
All right, let me get it right in the mic so you could hear it. It's a 4.
Four. Ooh.
And
ooh,
didn't
ooh.
Roll off of
this
the
is,
desk.
I've been waiting for this one to come up for like over a year now. Number 4 is our favorite tabletop tales, where we're just going to tell stories about crazy stuff that's happened in our tabletop games.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That does sound like
those
fun.
Ones are always super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for having me. This was a blast. I hope I was able to help somebody who's ambitious and eager to start a new actual play podcast. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, thanks for being on.
My worst case scenario was a great rant.
Yeah, no one listens to us. See you guys.
Goodbye.